I'm going to be talking about the E word today. That stands for evangelism. And a heart for the lost, that is a heart for people who don't know that they have a Father in heaven who absolutely loves them. And they're carrying guilt, and they're carrying shame, and they're carrying fear, and they haven't met Jesus who wants to take it from them. So I'm calling it the E word because it kind of ends up being a bit of a dirty word. It's, you know, when we get told, oh, we've got to have a passion for the lost, or, oh, we need to be getting out there, we start to feel a bit awkward, start to feel a bit guilty, feel a bit uncomfortable, get a bit bored, get into striving because we know it's the right thing and we should be doing it. So I'm talking about that this morning. Woohoo! But what I want to talk about really is to do with a whole attitude to life, really, about anything we're going through, anything we feel is important, anything we're struggling with, anything we think we should be doing, anything. We have an amazing, wonderful, incredible, very, very exceptionally able helper, the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about him today. So I'm talking about something really on God's heart, and it's really, really important, but I'm actually talking about a way to live, about anything that you've got going on in your life at the moment. You have an amazing helper, and you are not on your own, and you do not have to have what it takes to sort out whatever it is you need sorting out. You have an amazing helper. So I'm just getting a bit croaky.
Nice earrings.
Thanks, Malk. Thank you for that. For the podcast, my earrings are being complimented. Okay, so last year, just at the end of last year, thank you, Malcolm. Any encouragement is always, you know, gratefully received. And I loved it. We talked about the Holy Spirit. I hope you loved that series. I hope it wasn't just a series. I hope it gave you a heart to know Holy Spirit as a person, know and have a relationship with God, know his love. But we kind of talked mainly, or at least I did when I talked, about Holy Spirit is in you for you, and about having a real relationship with God and how amazing that is. But what I want to talk about as well is that Holy Spirit is on you for the world. And he wants to flow through you. And he has a passion for people who don't know God. And he has a love for them that is overwhelming. And he wants to flow through us. And it's not about, in anything in life, it's not about what you can do. It's about what God can do through you. And we start to put all our focus on Jesus. It makes a complete difference in your life. So I'm talking about evangelism. I'm talking about having a heart for the lost. But it's about an attitude to life as well. And if you come on the healing encounter, little plug, second week of June, be good if you could come. We talk a lot about orphan mindsets. And so when I'm talking about the lost and evangelism, I'm really going for some orphan mindsets that we have that God wants to set us free from. And if you think about an orphan is somebody who has no one. They don't have a mum or a dad. And that means if they want something, they're not sure they're going to get it. And if they want something or need something, they think they've got to do it or it won't happen. They've got to have what it takes. They've got to make it happen. There's no one to help them, no one to rely on. If something needs sorting out, I need to sort it out myself. I'm on my own and it's down to me. That's an orphan. And I'd like to put it to us that some of us have, deep down, some of those mindsets going on in our lives. Yeah? But what's a son like? What's a child like who knows they've got a mum and a dad? They don't even know. They're not even problem-orientated. They're not thinking about their problems. You know, if there is a problem, dad's got it covered. You know, it's like a little analogy. You know, if a child's getting in to go on a journey, they're not thinking, have we got enough petrol? Is the MOT all right? Are we insured? Are we going to get there? Do we have the sat nav? You know, they just get in the back of the car and, are we there yet? You know, they've got no worries, yeah? So that is what a child is like. If they've got a problem, dad's going to sort it out. So how does that, what am I talking about, Debs? Why am I mentioning these mindsets when I'm talking about having a passion for the lost or getting out there, evangelizing? Well, I want to tackle two orphan mindsets. One is, and we do this a lot, we parent ourselves, I should feel like this. Okay, I'm going to make myself feel like this. I should be doing something. I'm going to make myself do something. You know, it's down to me. I've got to sort myself out. Or the other sort of mindset of, God isn't doing anything about this. This is something I'm meant to do by myself. Or, you know, God isn't doing anything, doesn't seem to be doing anything, so I better jolly well get on and do it myself. That's kind of the mindsets I'm sort of going for. And they can affect us in all areas of our life, but I want to look at it especially in terms of having a heart for the lost and therefore wanting to evangelize. So the first thing I just want to talk about is what actually is Father's heart like? And I've talked about this before, so apologies to anybody who came on the sanctification weeks at the beginning of January. But for me, the word that really comes to mind when I think about Father's heart is his compassion. It's a really rich word. It's a really wonderful, wonderful heart of compassion that Father God has. And Jesus is the representation, perfect representation of Father God. So if we want to know what Father is like, we just have to look at Jesus and we get to know what Father's like. And if you look at Jesus, it keeps talking about the fact that he has compassion. So you get these stories where husband's had enough. Can I just, for the tape, my husband is just walking off. And was that plaguing anybody? Is that why you mentioned it? I apologise. My earring apparently was wobbling all over the place. I apologise. Okay, focus, focus, focus. Okay. Anyway, so that is random. I'm lost now. Okay, so you get these stories about how Jesus has been giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out, giving out. He gets absolutely exhausted. He says to his disciples, we need to go somewhere and just hide away for a bit. We need to actually have a chance to eat. I need to have a chance to just kind of talk to my Father. Let's go somewhere, guys. They get off, they go somewhere. The crowd see where they are. By the time they get to the other side of the lake, there's this huge crowd. And then Jesus says, you know, he's full of compassion. He puts all his needs to one side and he just goes and starts ministering again. And you see people coming up to him are really, really poorly. And they're kind of saying, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And it says, you know, Jesus, filled with compassion, reached out and said, I am willing, be clean. And that word is a Greek word, splanknizomai. Don't ask me to spell it or pronounce it probably correctly. Splanknizomai. And it actually means a twisting of the guts. And it's that feeling when you feel the emotional pain of somebody, it's like a physical pain inside you. It's like a real twist. And it just makes you want to do something to make it better. And that is the compassion of Father pouring through Jesus all the time, all the time, all the time to us. He feels it in his guts. That's his compassion. And I have to apologize to my daughter Sophie because the last time I did this, mentioned this word, she said, Mum, cut the phlegm. Okay, so I apologize for this Hebrew word I'm about to say, which I apparently said far too many times, and there was an awful lot of phlegmy noises going on, so I apologize in advance. But the other amazingly rich word for compassion is this word, rachum. And it comes from this, I'm trying to dull my phlegmy bit down. It comes from this root word called raham, and it The word means womb. And it's saying that God's compassion is like that incredible connection between a mother and the child inside her. That's the compassion of God. And I know that there will have been women here that have experienced having a miscarriage. And I'm sorry if what I'm just about to say just reminds you. But what Father's heart is like is that, you know, we do this thing with women when they have a miscarriage. We say, and it's true, you can have another baby. And we want to encourage them, don't we? You can have another one. And that's true. But actually, there's that thing inside a woman that says, but I want my baby. I want this baby. Nobody can take the place of this child. I can have another baby, but it will be another baby. No one can take the place of this baby I've lost. You know, and that is what rachum is. That is what the compassion of God is. No one can take your place in Father's heart. And I mean, I'm one of seven. I have four brothers. I feel there should be some sympathy coming. Thank you. I have suffered. I've had my food stolen. I've been stuck in cupboards. I've been nagged. I've been teased. Anything, anybody, four. I'm talking four brothers. I have two sisters. So I'm one of seven. And 2 years ago, we suffered a horrible loss in our family. We lost my eldest brother, Mick. And he is the only one in my family who's a Christian. So that was amazingly, God saved me from a lot of heartache. But, you know, 2 years on, my mum isn't going, oh, well, I've got six. So I lost one. You know, if we talk about Mick, her eyes still fill with tears. You know, she's lost her first son. That's rachum. That's the compassion of a mother's heart for an irreplaceable child. And in the light of that, I want you to hear that phrase that we say all the time, that's in the book of Peter, that it's Father's heart that not one should perish. Can you hear, you know, like we say that, don't we? We know that phrase. But we're talking about this compassion, this heart for people. Every single person, every one of you here, God knows every hair on your head. He knows what you're going to say before you say it. He knows when you sit and when you rise. He knows what you need before you even tell him. When you were in your mother's womb, he knew you. He saw you. And it actually even says in Ephesians, doesn't it? Even before he made the world, he knew you and he wanted you. And you are irreplaceable. And that is the heart of the Father for the lost. I'm not going to say the word again, so don't panic. Phlegm over. But where does the more orphan mindset come in when I say that to you? Well, what it does to me is like, I've got to drum it up. I've got to get this myself now. This is what God feels about it. I've got to make myself feel like this now. I've got to care about this. This is important to God. Oh, come on, Debs, pull your socks up. Come on, sort yourself out. But this isn't something that you can drum up. This is something Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart. You know, if we drum it up, at best what happens is, you know, we sort of manage for a couple of weeks to kind of get it into our heads. This is really important. Feel a bit of guilt. Try and do something about it. A couple of weeks go by, forget all about it. Then another talk at church, feel guilty again. Oh no, I've forgotten all about it. Come on, sort myself out. Goes like that. Even worse, it's that thing of you're chatting to somebody. This could be a moment. I must somehow get God into this conversation. And, you know, you kind of shoehorn him into something. And you're concentrating so much on, I should be doing something, rather than the person in front of you that God just wants to love. So we get really like, I've got to make it happen. Okay? So I want to introduce you to somebody. The Grinch, okay? Don't know if you've met him before, but this is what it says. Every Who down in Whoville liked Christmas a lot, but the Grinch who lived just north of Whoville did not. The Grinch hated Christmas the whole Christmas season. Now, please don't ask why. No one quite knows the reason. It could be his head wasn't screwed on just right. It could be perhaps that his shoes were too tight. But I think that the most likely reason of all may have been that his heart was two sizes too small. And what I want to kind of put to you is, what we need to do is just be honest with God where we are and say, you know, sometimes we just have to say about a situation. It could be anything, but just be like, you know what, Jesus, I think my heart is two sizes too small at the moment. Will you come? Will you come and expand my heart? What I do is I kind of parent myself. I tell myself what I should be doing, what I should be feeling, and I try and do it myself instead of pouring out my heart to God, being real with him, and then letting him do something inside me. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, because he is absolutely amazing. This is a promise. Holy Spirit says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. So the Holy Spirit can expand you on the inside so that you have a heart that is able to reach out. You have a heart that is full of compassion. You have a heart that can be full of Father's love. And there's this amazing promise in Romans where it says, you know, Father has pours out his love into our hearts by means of his Holy Spirit. He's shed abroad in our hearts his love. And that's what he wants to do. He wants the Holy Spirit wants to flow through you. He wants the love of the Father to flow through you. And it's what he will do through you if you just let him. So that's what I want to say. You know, we don't have to drum it up. It's not something we can actually muster up ourselves. But it is something amazing that the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts. So if I bring back Mr. Grinch. And what happened then? Well, in Whoville, they say that the Grinch's small heart grew three sizes that day. And the minute his heart didn't feel quite so tight, he whizzed with his load through the bright morning light and he brought back the toys and the food for the feast. And he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beef. Boom. So Holy Spirit wants to make our heart three sizes bigger. Anybody up for that? Yeah? Instead of you trying to do it, letting Holy Spirit give you a heart that is full of love. That's supernatural. And he wants to do it. So let the Holy Spirit flow through you. So my second mindset. Yeah, I'm doing this all by myself. I was thinking about it this morning, and I was thinking, yeah, the way I put it is, God doesn't seem to be doing anything, so I need to do something. We can think that a lot in life, actually. Or, this isn't something God does, this is something I'm meant to do, I should be doing. Yeah? But actually, we're not on our own. God is really busy doing lots of amazing things. He's doing it, and he just wants us to join in with what he actually is doing already. So I'm going to talk about in a minute prevenient grace, about how God goes before us, and he's already doing something. He just wants us to join him. In the Great Commission that we talk about a lot, we talk about go and make disciples, don't we? And the first thing actually is the go bit, English teacher moment coming on, sorry, apologies, but the go bit is not the active verb. The make disciples is the active bit, because you are going all the time. You go to work, you go to school, you go to the shops, you go to the playground, you go on holiday, you go all the time. It's being aware that you can be making disciples and teaching them to follow Jesus. But the thing we need to keep remembering is what's said before that. I am with you always. That's what Jesus says. He is with you always. This is not something we do on our own. He is doing something and he wants us to join in. So the way I kind of picture this in my mind is being like a child about 5 or 6, and it's an inset day at school, and we don't have to go in, and we get to go to work with Dad. So in my mind, I'm picking on John Hollands. The reason I'm picking on John Hollands is, who would not, A, want to go to work with John Hollands anyway? But John Hollands, if you were his, he was your dad, he drives a truck. Okay, so in my mind, getting to be in a truck, woohoo! John Hollands, he has some mean tools. Yeah, we've got chainsaws and what have you going on. I'd be dead excited if I was a kid going on holiday, going on to work with John Hollands. Chainsaw in the back, truck. And I have heard they do have cooked breakfasts. Another good reason to go for an inset day with John Hollands. And don't know really what they do, but I think it involves trees. So I could climb one. Woohoo! Even better. And the thing that would top it off for me, he's got a dog. We can go with a dog to work as well. So all those things, if I was John Hollands' son, I would so want to have an inset day and get to go with John Hollands to work. Sorry, John, but it's true. So to me, it's like that. Father's doing something and I get to go with him on my inset day. And, you know, I can imagine, I have no idea really what they do, so this is going to be embarrassing now, pretend. But, you know, I can imagine John's like with a chainsaw, don't know what he's doing, cutting a branch off, something like that. Well, I can't really do that, can I, if I'm six? So he gives me a little something to do. Maybe it's like banging a little nail into a stick or doing something. But he wouldn't say to me, oh, you are. He'd go, oh, you know, I really need you to do this. This is a really important job. So while I'm doing that, do you think if I gave you this, you could get that done? You know, and you can imagine the child doing this whole thing. And look, Dad, look at what I've done. He's like, wow, look at your muscles now. You're becoming a real man. That's fantastic. Get home. Mum, Dad really needed me today. And I did this thing and this, that. And she'd go, oh, you know, can you imagine Jill? Wow. You really helped Dad today. You were amazing. You were a real daddy's helper. He couldn't have done it without you. Yeah? Oh, Mom, I need 3 sausages on my... Yeah? Yeah. Just got a bit of a food thing going on. But do you know what I mean? That's how you would feel. And that's what it's like. Father's doing something. And he says, do you want to come and join me? Get in the truck. Come on. And you do this thing that Father's doing and you think, wow, look at me. I did this. Aren't I amazing? This and this happened. He's like, wow, I couldn't have done it without you, when actually he's done the whole thing himself. Yeah? That's what it's like to me. That's the mindset we want to get. Father is doing something and he just says, do you want to come? Come and be with me. Come and be with me. So I'm talking about a rest that comes inside your heart because you are joining in. It's not about you doing it. I have to do it. I have to make it happen. I've got to somehow. It's about Father is doing something and I join in. Jesus was the hardest working, most unselfish, busy person I have ever known in my life. Seen what he does. But he says, doesn't he, all the time, my Father is working and I must be about my Father's job. And he says another place, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. And if it was the sort of like Debs Burnham version, it would be, Father's doing this and I'm just joining in. That's another way of putting it to me. He's always at work. You know, sometimes, you know, I go home to my family and I really want to see my family saved. And I can go in with the mindset of God isn't doing anything. I can't see anything happening. I've got to kind of force a conversation here or something. I've got to make something happen. But I think what Holy Spirit wants is always at work and he is doing something. And it's like, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? How can I join in with what you're doing? And the whole pressure thing lifts off and excitement and faith and expectation begin to arise. We're doing this kind of crazy thing, Spirit Cafe, at the moment. And I don't know where I am on this thing. Oh, back one. And we've just got this little idea. We're going to do this thing. We're going to try and give people encounters with God. And we had this amazing situation with this Polish man. He had hardly any English. He's walking along. He sees our banner. Woohoo! Thank you, Nikki, for the banner. And he just thought, I don't know why, but I've just got to come. I've just got to go in. So he talked to somebody who's just standing there handing out leaflets, came up the steps. As he walked up the steps, he started to weep. He came in, he just cried and cried. He sat down with the little group, he started to really cry. They had a little word for him, he cried and cried. So they said, do you like to have Jesus in your life? Yes. Cried and cried and cried. Went and chatted to somebody afterwards. They gave him a Bible in English because we didn't have a Polish one. He cried and cried and cried. And we as a team, we saw the love of Jesus literally physically enter somebody. We literally saw somebody coming alive. It was amazing. All we did was we thought, okay, this is what we're going to do, God. We think this is what you're asking us to do, so we're going to do it. He did it. The guy had hardly any English. And from the minute he started to walk on those steps, Holy Spirit, and actually way before that had been drawing him, but as he walked up the steps, as he came in, Holy Spirit was doing something in his heart, getting him in touch with that huge need he has, that everybody has, for Jesus. Prevenient grace. That's what the Wesleys called it, that Holy Spirit goes before you and is preparing the way. We had a long time ago, when my cell had got down to two people, and it was the lovely Sally Gillett and another lady who's not here now, but called Carla. And we decided to do an alpha course, because it was that all fold it, because there was only three of us. So we tried to do this alpha course. So I'm going around in my room doing warfare. Yeah, right. Sort of marching around and trying to get up a sweat and get all like, ooh, you know, about this alpha course, because basically I was scared. And then literally I heard God shout, Ruth, at the top of his voice at me. And it was like he was basically like, would you please shut up? So I draw breath, Debs, draw breath. I'm trying to get through to you here, sort of thing. And Ruth, who's in our church, been to Africa, in our church, she worked with me at Berkshire Women's Aid. So it was her last, she was having a leaving do that week. So being extremely brave, I put a note in a card inviting her, didn't say anything, handed it to her. She says, oh, shall I open it now? I said, no. Open it after I've gone. You know, real courage going on there. And, you know, unbeknownst, I'm looking at her and I'm thinking, she's fine, she's happy, she's got it made, she's going for a new job, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realise that Ruth had been in her room at night going, God, if you're real, show me. God, if you're real, I need you. Prevenient grace. All I did was handed her a card. God was doing it. God was doing it. And it was easy. She came. She became a Christian. It was like pulling an apple. Well, almost like picking up a fallen apple from the tree. It was that easy. God is busy. So this is my definition of evangelism. I want to say to you, it's overflow. Holy Spirit wants to fill you up to overflowing. He wants to flow through you. And what, to me, evangelism is that let's get so full of Jesus. Let's get so intoxicated with him. Let's get so amazed by him. Let's get so thrilled by him. Let's just spend time with him. Let's get hidden in him. Let's get to know him. Let's spend time with him. Let's just enjoy his presence. Let's get overwhelmed with Jesus and let him flow through us. It's all about him. It's not about you. You don't have to be amazing. He's the amazing one. So to me, you know, there's that scripture, isn't it? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So let's get full of him. Let's get our focus on him. Let's really enjoy him. And then out of that overflow, the mouth will speak about him. We'll be allowing him to flow through us. You know, Holy Spirit wants to immerse us, drench us, soak us, fill us to overflowing with Jesus. And then you're just going to overflow, yeah? So it's all about him. And so he is always saying this, Jesus, are you thirsty? Because just come and drink. Just come and drink. Just come and drink. Just come and drink from me. So I want to say to you, you don't have to drum it up. You don't want to have to try to have it. You don't have to sort yourself out, pull your socks up, get yourself sorted, go out there and do it. You just need to say, Jesus, this is where I am. And that's about anything in your life. Anything you're dealing with in your life, you do not have to deal with it on your own. You do not have to have what it takes. Jesus is the answer, and he wants to flow through you. Yeah? Yeah. So what I'd like to do is just a little prayer, and then I'll hand on to Mr. Beard. And knees. Beard and knees. Okay. Yeah. So, Holy Spirit, we want to honor you. We want to honor you right now. We want to thank you that you are mighty to save. We want to thank you that you're a strong deliverer. We want to declare, Jesus, you're the Lord of the harvest. And you know what you're doing. And what you do so well. And Holy Spirit, we want to say to you, hear our hearts. Hear our hearts in many different ways. Our hearts are just a little bit too small. But hallelujah. You want to set us free. You want to heal our hearts. You want to expand us on the inside. So we just say, come and do it. It's not something we can drum up. But Holy Spirit, would you release the compassion of God, the rachum of God, the splanknizomai of God, the gut-twisting compassion of Jesus into our hearts so that we're never the same again. We want to know that that's how you feel about us. And we want to have your love flowing through us to whoever you put in front of us. So, Holy Spirit, come and do what only you can do. And, Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you break off heavy yokes. Heavy yokes of it's down to me. I've got to do it. I've got to have what it takes. This is something I have to do. Or God seems to be doing nothing. Lord, will you break those heavy yokes off people right now? And any guilt and any weariness and any complacency, that ways of dealing with it, God, just would you come and set our hearts free right now? And I pray for eyes to be open to see what Father is doing. And in any situation, regardless of talking about evangelism, Lord, but any situation where people feel like you're not doing anything, would you open up their eyes right now to see what you're doing? And we pray for a release of hope right now that you've got it covered and you've got what it takes. And that feeling that we have to have what it takes, we just want to hand it over to you, God. It's too heavy a load for us to carry. So let your kingdom come. So I just speak now. I want to speak to your hearts and say, in the name of Jesus, receive a hunger for Jesus. That means you'll never be the same again, that you will never be satisfied, that you will always be wanting to drink from him, always wanting to feed on him, always wanting to have more of him. So God, I pray for that deep calling to deep to arise in every heart here. Will you come and awaken hearts and come and bring your life and resurrection life into every heart? Yeah, Holy Spirit, we pray for the spirit of adoption, that we know that we know that we have a dad who loves us and has got what it takes and is always working and is just saying, come and join in. Come and join in with what I'm doing already. God, let your kingdom come and let a new joy and a new fire be birthed in us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.